Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I'd like to speak to you on the subject, God's supply chain. God's supply chain. We are, of course, in a season of tremendous uncertainty with COVID-19. This first quarter of 2020 was unexpected. It is unprecedented in memory for any of us can go back and look into the history of our lives. When we have ice storms in the city of Atlanta, we're used to people emptying the shelves of milk and bread. But what we've seen in this day, the hoarding, the fear, the emptying of grocery store shelves is really an unprecedented experience. But this rash of hoarding during the coronavirus pandemic is just caused by a fear of quarantine and shortages, the worry that people have that they will be short of everyday items. I was reading an article the other day about a grocery store chain in Texas called HEB. They've been prepared for natural disasters because they have a hurricane-prone area of the country. They said, we anticipated the shortage of many things, but not toilet paper. Now, I don't usually talk about toilet paper from the pulpit, but it's interesting that the shelves around Atlanta and probably in your part of the country, if you're not from here, have been wiped out of many items, including that. I was watching a press conference by President Trump several days ago, and I remember him saying this very clearly to our country. He said, quit hoarding, quit buying so much. He said, let the supply chain work. Let the supply chain work. Don't worry about there being enough there, but you've got to allow time for the supply chain to work. It lodged in my mind, and several days later as I was praying and thinking about Wednesdays and Sundays, Bible studies and messages, the Lord just dropped into my mind that God has a supply chain. But let's talk about how the supply chain works in the natural world, in the world in which we live, and the supply of goods. I appreciate Brother Alex Voss doing some research for me, and I've done some of my own. In business and finance, supply chain is a system of organizations, people, activities, information involved in moving a product or service from supplier to the customer. There's a series of activities that involve the transformation of raw natural resources or raw materials, and then to the components of that, to becoming the finished product and delivered to a customer or a consumer. There are three major elements of supply chain management and demand. There have to be the resources, or first, it starts with the demand, and then the materials, and then the resource capability. I went back and read some of the history of the supply chain in an agrarian society in which the Bible was written. A farmer would perhaps cut wheat, send it to a mill for grinding into flour, and then he would send it to a baker who would turn it into bread, and finally it would be sold at a market stall. We've seen quite a transformation from the agrarian age to our day now, before the 1900s, in the early 20th century, from the 30s to the 40s when there was greater mechanization. In the 50s, the standardization and introduction of containerization. The 60s to the 80s, greater efficiency and the introduction of computers. And then further efficiencies from the 80s and the 90s and a shift to a global model. To today, we see true globalization. But there are these simple steps always. A primary producer like a farmer, a rancher, or a miner. The processing and packaging, wholesale, retail, customer, and that is how it works. It always works that way in man's supply chain. I saw some interesting pictures the other day in a newsletter that Brother John Wolfram sent to us on the work of God in Vietnam. He showed some pictures there of some chickens that were deceased. And they were laying in the front yard in front of someone who was going to prepare them for a meal. The next picture was of these chickens that were plucked and in a bowl in a kitchen, and then chickens again ready to be cooked, and then the finished product of brothers and sisters sitting around tables eating a meal of chicken. That was the supply chain. But I've learned that God has a supply chain that is streamlined. It is efficient. In fact, it is the epitome of perfection. God's supply chain has never needed updating, modification, or modernization. In fact, human hands have often hindered God's supply chain from working as He intended. God's supply chain is based on His ability alone and His willingness to supply our needs. The text that I read to you today was Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I'd like to give some background to this passage because Philippians is an amazing book, and Philippians 4 contains several verses that should be on the memory verse list for every believer. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord, and again I say rejoice. Philippians 4:6-7, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, if there be any virtue, of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And then Philippians 4:19, our text. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul had a warm relationship with Philippian Christians. He was the founder of the work of God there. You may remember in Acts chapter 16 that while Paul waited on the Lord, there was a vision that God gave him. A man of Macedonia appeared to him in a vision and said, come over into Macedonia and help us. The Apostle Paul went to Philippi, the chief city of that region, and there this first convert, Lydia, a seller of purple, came to the Lord, and the church in Philippi was established there. The Philippian church was very generous with the Apostle Paul and were part of his ministry of missions that went from Philippi as he traveled and preached the gospel. Now, Paul is writing this letter back to them from prison. Philippians 4:10 and 4:14, Paul thanked the Lord for their generous giving to his ministry. And he told them that they had communicated with him in his affliction. He told them in verses 11 and 12 that he had learned in whatsoever state he was in to be content. Paul said, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound, and everywhere and in all things I have been instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. This is good advice for us right now. How can we know how to be abased and how can we know how to abound? Paul said that he was instructed, I believe, by God's word and by God's spirit. Paul was instructed both to be full and hungry, to abound and to suffer need. There were times when Paul was in extreme conditions of fullness, and then other times he suffered hunger. Times he was abounding, times he had been abased. And regardless of the circumstances, Paul said in Philippians 4:11, not that I speak in respect of want, but I have learned. I want to emphasize that word, I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Being content was not the result of a spiritual gift that Paul had received. Being content was something that Paul had learned through the troubles and trials of life. And I pray right now that God would help me and God would help you to lean on the Lord, whether we are in lean times or whether we are in times of plenty. We have some learning to do, learning to lean on God and learning to go through times of difficulty without complaining to the Lord. Paul said, I've learned that there are times when things are not going well for me, but I've learned to be content. I've learned to trust in God regardless of the circumstances around me. You see, life is often like a roller coaster ride. There are ups and downs. There are highs and lows. But this is when Paul said in verse 13, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. This is the context of this verse. Verse 13 is important. Paul can do anything as long as God gives him strength. Now, most of us have heard this verse used for all kinds of things in life, and I think it has many applications. But Paul does not say that through Christ I can leap over tall buildings in a single bound. Paul does not say here that I've learned to survive the bite of a poisonous snake or do great miracles or cast out devils. Certainly he had that kind of power in his life. But specifically in this setting, Paul is saying that what God has strengthened me to do is go through times when everything is going wrong in my life. I've learned there to be content, that I can be at the very bottom and I can deal with that if God strengthens me. Or I can be in times of plenty, and instead of forgetting God, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Hunger, thirst, plenty, or lean, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Right now, I want to apply this to our lives, that we need to not be complainers. We need to not feel that God has forsaken us, because Paul told us that there is a gamut of emotions. There are highs and lows in life, and that we literally can do all things in all circumstances through Christ who gives us strength. In Philippians 4, 14 through 18, Paul spoke to the Philippians about their giving to him in ministry. He told them that they had done well to communicate with his affliction. And he told them that no other church but the churches of Macedonia had given but them only. He told them that not just once, but twice and perhaps three times they had partnered with him in ministry. And he told them, it's not because I need a gift, but I'm glad, he said, that there will be fruit that may abound to your account. God, he said, is keeping careful records of your giving, and God has not forgotten your labor of love. God has not forgotten what you're doing. And he told them, I've received the things that you've sent by this man, Epaphroditus. And he said, you know what really has happened is that your gift to me has become a sweet smell, like an Old Testament sacrifice that has been acceptable and well-pleasing to God. God sees your giving, and God remembers what you have done on my behalf. This is important because while Paul was blessed by these financial partners, Paul is telling them that God will remember what you have done, and God is well-pleased with this giving. While I'm going through these lean times and good times, and I have this gift, God will bless you because of this. And this leads us to our text today. I wanted you to understand supply chains. I wanted you to understand a little bit about what the Philippian church had done with Paul as they partnered with him in ministry. But then Paul says to them, because God is pleased by your giving, God is pleased with your living, he said, now you have a promise on you. Verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. This verse really speaks for itself, but I want you to see the affirmation here. Paul says, my God, a personal, strong relationship with God who is our Father, who knows our need before we ask, our God who knows exactly where we are, our God will supply. God has a spiritual supply chain. Our God shall supply all your need. Every need that you have, my God shall supply all of your need because he has resources that never run out. There is never any lack in God's supply chain. For he will supply all of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Throughout the Bible, we learn that God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, that everything on this earth belongs to him, that every resource is in his control and in his power, and he knows how to deliver it to the shelf of our life so that there is never any lack. Amen? My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Paul tells the Philippians that I cannot pay you back, but God will reciprocate you on my behalf. Because of your generosity with me, because you've been a shareholder in the work of God, God sees everything that you have done, and he will remember your needs just as you have remembered mine. You see, the Philippians needed God's help at this time. In chapter 1 of Philippians, verses 27 to 30, Paul refers to their suffering and their adversaries. If you cross-reference Philippians with the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 8, verses 1 through 5, Paul is chiding the Corinthian church and he is holding up the model of giving of the Macedonian churches, which included Philippi and all this region of Achaia. I want to read it to you today because I think it's a promise and it's also an encouragement. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. So think Philippi, that chief city of the region of Macedonia and called Achaia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yea, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. And not only as we had hoped, but at the first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. You see, these Philippian Christians had shown tremendous generosity in a season of suffering and lean times in their own lives. But while they were at a time in their own experience where things were not going well at all, they opened their hearts to God and they opened their resources financially to the work of God. And I want to pause right here to say, not just through tithing and giving through our local church, but I pray that right now we would be like these Philippian brothers and sisters, that wherever we see a need, we would open our hearts and that we would not be driven or controlled by fear of the circumstances we're in right now, because my message to you today is about God's supply chain, that it is not contingent or dependent on the circumstances of our world around us, but God has a supply chain, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God's supply chain works just like that. And to our church family and to anyone who is joining us online, in times like this, we need to trust God that he will really supply all of our need. You see, fear leads to hoarding. It's a result of a lack of trust in God that does the same. You may remember that when Israel was wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, that God gave them manna 6 days a week. But in the beginning, Israel was insecure, and they weren't sure if the second day that manna would fall from heaven just as it did the first day. So they went out and gathered manna as the Lord said, according to the needs of their family, some more and some less. But at the end of the day, the Bible said that some of those Israelites hoarded that manna. They kept it up overnight, thinking that just in case God doesn't come through for us tomorrow, we'll save this up. But the Bible says very clearly in Exodus 16 verse 20, notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was angry at them. He was angry because they didn't trust God's supply chain, that God, just as God allowed manna to rain from heaven, the Bible said he fed them with angels' food, just as he did it on day one, he would do it on day two, and every day, 6 days a week, he would give them manna. Now, God also gave them a prohibition. Don't gather too much. And then he said, I want to tell you what I'm going to do. On the day before the Sabbath, I want you to gather twice as much. This is not going to work any other day. But on that sixth day, you gather twice as much. And on that day only, it will not go bad. It will not breed worms. And it will not stink. That's how God's supply chain works. And it is founded on a fundamental trust in the nature of God, that God is able to supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I want to share just a few snippets of scripture and how God works. You may remember these Old Testament examples, and I'll just kind of drive by them quickly by way of memory. In 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 8 through 16, there is a widow who is down to nothing, and God told the prophet Elijah to leave where the brook had dried up and go to Zarephath, and that the Lord would sustain him by a widow. She was down to just a handful of meal and a little bit of oil, but by her obedience to put God first, throughout the entire famine, God supplied all of her needs and her son's needs and Elijah's needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You see, God can operate through the emptiness of the miracle of oil, as was preached not too long ago in our church from 2 Kings chapter 4. God's supply chain can operate through the resources even of your enemy, as he did for the city of Samaria that was experiencing a famine. It's a challenging verse when one of the next in power to that king, when Elisha said that tomorrow about this time, I know you're in a famine right now, but tomorrow about this time, commodities, basic commodities are going to be dirt cheap. He gave all the specifics. You can read it for yourself in 2 Kings chapter 7. But there was a man who said that if God would make windows in heaven, there is no way that food could be that cheap tomorrow. Don't you know that we're in a famine? People are eating their babies, and things that we would never eat are so expensive right now. But through those four lepers, God provided a miracle. And within 24 hours, God did something like opening the windows of heaven. And that man who did not believe God was trampled in the gate of the city. Elisha said, and the Lord said to him, that just in 24 hours, everything turned around. What I want you to see today is that no matter what goes on in our world, no matter how difficult the circumstances may be for you or may be for me, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God is able to make windows in heaven. In fact, Malachi talked about this. There were people in Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 is where this story comes. There are people who did not trust God, and they were actually robbing God. Malachi is written, some portions of it, in kind of a Q&A, question and answer format. Malachi asks, will a man rob God? Yeah, you have robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed thee? And the Lord says, back in tithes and offerings. And he tells them because of their lack of trust and faith in God that they are cursed with the curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. And Malachi tells them, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house and prove me. Here's a time where God says, put me to the test. Now, you're not tempting the Lord, but you are putting into practice your faith in God. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and you shall not destroy your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts, and all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. I wanted to read this entire passage. I'm not here today to talk about giving, but I am here to talk about God's ability to open windows in heaven. You may have no idea where your resources for tomorrow are coming from. It may look like man's supply chain has broken down, that greed and fear and hoarding has shut the economy down. But I'm here to declare by the word of God that there is a God who controls the resources of this earth. He looks down and he knows the faithfulness of his people, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. God's supply chain operates when you take what little you have and put it in his hands and trust him, just as the miracle of five loaves and two fishes fed 5,000 men plus women and children. Just as seven loaves and a few fishes fed 4,000 men plus women and children. You see, God's supply chain does not work by the systems and structures that are devised by man, as good as they are. It doesn't go from the farmer to the processor to the wholesaler to the retailer or to the consumer. In natural life, we work for a living, and we live in this natural world of the human supply chain. But when that supply chain breaks down, I want to assure you today that God is able to resource you of all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's how God does it every time. I love the words of the psalmist in Psalm 37, 23. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old, Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He, our God, is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. I do not believe that this was just the personal experience of David, the psalmist, the writer. I believe that this is a promise of the Lord, that my God is able to supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The word of God is always true. And even though our country has partially been shut down and there is COVID-19, it is a pandemic. According to what has been released by our country, thousands of people dying, and I'll spare you the statistics that change from day to day that are in my notes. And now there are the unemployment forecasts that are really ominous for our country. Millions of people have and will lose their jobs. And when we look at what is on the horizon from a natural perspective, it would be easy to be filled with fear as an individual, as church people, as citizens of our country, and even the global community of our world. Some are saying that this is cataclysmic. This is financial Armageddon. It is unprecedented in our culture. And I am not a prophet to be able to say what tomorrow holds for our country. But I'm here today in this setting to give you a promise from the Word of God, from Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I want you to please join me right now, wherever you are, and pray over your life, over your family, over God's church, over our country, and indeed over the people of our world. Lord, we acknowledge you as being King of Kings and the Lord of our lives. I thank you, Lord, for what the medical field is doing to combat COVID-19 at this time. We thank you, Lord, for the Herculean efforts of civic and corporate leaders in our country. But today, God, I pray that you would forgive our sins and heal our land. I pray right now, Lord, for supernatural support for people who are struggling financially right now. I pray, Lord, that you would heal us, spirit, soul, body. Lord, that you would give strength to our emotions and that you would let the peace of God that passes understanding keep our hearts and minds by Christ Jesus. Today, Lord, I recognize that you are an almighty God and there is nothing too hard for you. Today, Lord, I thank you and I praise you for God's supply chain. And more than ever before, Lord, we have faith in you and we believe, Lord, that you are able to supply all of our needs. And Lord, not just that you are able, but you shall supply all of our needs according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And I pray that, Lord, and I ask as we continue to pray in our homes and wherever we are right now, that you would bless your people and give us faith in you. And I pray, Lord, that you would remove fear from us, for fear has torment, but perfect love casts out fear. I pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And would you join me in saying, amen.